Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Got that award right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, for those anytime easy drinking occasion.
Guys, I've been listening to y'all since this show aired.
When I turn on the Morning Rush, I want to hear Ty at his best every single day.
There are people that have saved up all year and done whatever it took just to get a ticket, just to get a glimpse at the Razorback.
Ty, fortunately, has saved the world and not yet procreated.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
The quarterback play at the University of Arkansas the past two seasons has come up short. And that is probably the most politically correct understatement of this decade. And I know the decade just started, but that's basically what you're talking about when it comes to the QB position at Arkansas. And you were hoping, you were praying, you were clamoring, you were asking Felipe Franks, who's going to be the starter. I know it hadn't been announced yet, but he is going to be your starting quarterback. Please lead us out of this abyss. Arkansas is known for having good quarterback play. Be the next knight in shining armor. And in order for him to do that, he's got to have confidence in himself. He's got to have confidence in his teammates. He's got to have confidence in his head football coach, in his OC, Kendall Briles. There are so many intangibles that Felipe has to be okay with in order for this offense to get back on track, get back to a fun offense that you enjoy waking up on Saturday and seeing what they can do against an opposing team. Based on what we heard from him last night, he seems to have the confidence. Can that translate to the field? We'll find out in 2020. When it comes to him, and I'll tie Felipe and him, one of the things Darren is so appreciated for, and yes, you can talk about his on-the-field accolades, you can talk about what he was able to do for the University of Arkansas on the football field, but why he resonates, why he connects with you as an Arkansas football fan is because he loves this state. He loves this program. And it was cool to hear Felipe yesterday talk about how everyone, whether it was part of the football program, whether it was in Fayetteville, wherever the case may be, everyone was nice to him. And he really just connected with a lot of different people. And as a Razorback fan, you should definitely be happy about that, that an incoming player who, by the way, has never moved in his entire life outside of going from high school to Gainesville, is now moving. It's not clear across the country, but
halfway.
It's about halfway. Gainesville to Fayetteville is not exactly hey, let's get in the car and take an afternoon. I mean, you got to drive a little bit and fly. Yeah. And obviously, he probably flew for all that. Yeah. But to me, hearing that was important. But the biggest soundbite that came out of what he had to say yesterday was his confidence level. That was very important, his confidence level, him talking about just how he feels right now. Because you got to remember, y'all, he went through a gruesome, devastating injury this past year. Dislocated ankle, broken ankle, whatever verbiage, whatever you want to use for it. I mean, don't watch it.
Man, it hurt to watch.
It hurt to watch, Tommy. That's the best way to put it. Don't watch it.
I was watching that one live. He was playing against Kentucky.
I mean, remember, the guy is 6'6", so he has a big frame, and he gets rolled up under, and you can feel his pain through the television screen. It was, and Tommy's in here shaking. It's not ideal. So, but it's very important.
Ankles aren't meant to turn 90-degree angles.
No, they are not. So it's very important that he feels himself and feels 100% ready for this upcoming football season. He needs to be geared up, ready to go. He doesn't need to second guess himself when making a run, or if he gets blitzed and he has to get out of the pocket. He can't second guess, because Tommy, you know, the slightest hesitation in this league is going to get you sacked.
Yeah. And listen, it will be the Georgia game before he fully tests that, because they're not hitting the quarterback. He's not taking off on a full run knowing that, hey, I'm a live target today in practice. There's none of that. And I'm not suggesting there should be. I'm just saying that mental hurdle, if there is one, and that's only he knows if there is one, can't be cleared until the Georgia game.
Yeah, no, 100%. Here's what he had to say about his confidence leading up to that football game and what practice has been like.
I think my confidence is through the roof right now. We had a scrimmage, this past Friday. I felt wonderful, 100%. I take it personally every rep, treating like a game rep. So, to say that when game time comes, that's going to be my first game rep, I think that'd be, you know, far from it. So we've tried to, and that's not just me, but everyone on our offense, you know, taking reps as if we're in the game. So, you know, when Saturdays come, they come easy. But I feel really good. I feel healthy. I feel awesome. I'm ready to go out there and compete again, ready to play some football again.
It's one thing for him to say that practice is game rep. And listen, there's certain guys like Peyton Manning, for example, practice like he played. He was very adamant about, if I'm going to practice like this, this is how I'm going to play. But as you mentioned, it's very important. Dude's not getting hit. He's got the green. He's got the green shirts. He's not getting hit. That is not a priority. And if you hit the quarterback, you're out of practice. Probably. Might be off fatigue.
Yeah,
and that's, and I say that tongue in cheek, but at the same time, like Pittman or Briles or whoever's going to rail whoever does that.
And Petrino's so, offense, you're, in Petrino's time, you definitely were.
Yeah.
You maybe were off the campus.
Exactly. So for him to say that, listen, I'm happy he's confident. I'm happy he feels that like the injury is not going to affect him this season. But until you play that game one against one of the best defenses in college football, you truly are not going to know how you're going to react midst the game, because there's the potential to get re-injured. There's potential to get
hit. Is it? And listen, an ankle is different than a knee. You had a bad knee injury one time when you were in high school. It probably took a while to clear that mental hurdle that it wasn't just going to blow out again on you. I think an ankle's a little different because you broke a bone, the bone heals. I think mentally it's probably a little easier to clear. I've not done that, so I can't speak from firsthand experience, but just talking to people that have been through an injury similar to that, you know, they put the screws in there, the bone heals back up. It's not like it's tendons and ligaments like an ACL or something. So, I mean, I think you feel a little more confident probably, and it's not going to fail you. The question is, are you concerned about the contact? Are you worried about sliding in and getting hit or rolled up from behind? Are you just worried about playing the position, you know at 100? You know, and that's hard to do. So
it's difficult.
And you don't know until you've done it.
Yeah, no, there's like ligaments. Like I tore my ACL, like Tommy was talking about. There's like broken ankles, broken bones and stuff. I kind of lump that, while they're different severities of injuries, I lump it all together because it's still severe. Like, it cost him last season, the majority of last season. So,
but in my mind, if the bone heals and they've got screws in there, I don't know, maybe just the way my mind would work, I'd be a little less worried about that part failing me like I would a knee.
I'll say this. So, I never worried about an injury until I tore my ACL. Because I never got injured anywhere else, but that kind of changed my mind.
It's got to be out of his mind. He can't worry about that at all.
I hope it is.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a premium light lager brewed with real lemonade.
He does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs!
Overwhelming response to this question I asked last night was two songs. We'll start with Hank Williams Jr. and Hogwild.
Everybody knows that we're Hogwild. Everybody knows that we're Hogwild. Everybody knows that I play loud. Everybody knows. Everybody knows.
How many times have you heard that over?
Well, they play in the stadium once or twice every game day. That's a staple at Reynolds Razorback Stadium, so heard that a lot.
Are you a fan?
Fan of Hank Jr.
Good song.
Okay. What is yours, your go-to?
I don't know if I have a go-to. I like just a lot of good music at the tailgate. I don't know that I need a song to get hyped up, but I don't need to get hyped up for a game generally. You know, I'm a little bit different mode than probably most watching a game. So I don't know, just the pageantry, just the atmosphere of a full stadium, the band on the field, all that does it for me. So I don't need any extra. Sorry.
There's not a single song that you can listen to that gets you hyped up for
a football game.
Yeah, like
I don't know, dude. Man, I mean, I've been to so many games over the year. I mean, I've been to the hundreds, maybe thousands of games between Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays.
And I would think that there's a certain
I'm old school. I really like hearing the band.
So the fight song.
Yeah, or just, you know, whatever they're doing. Yeah.
So whatever, just music or whatever.
I know that's boring to you, but that's part of the pageantry of college football to me.
Okay. All right.
I know you don't like that. I know that doesn't fit into...
I was just hoping for segment's sake that you had a specific song or two.
Do you want me to be honest or you want me to make something up? Because now at the tailgate, it's a little bit different deal.
Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story.
I understand.
Radio 101.
Now at the tailgate, let's roll a little Zach Brown band. Let's roll
there
a little Chris Stapleton.
That's what I was asking. There we go.
But I don't need that to get fired up for the game. But I, you know, let's have a little Stapleton. Let's have a little Zach Brown band. Maybe a little Garth thrown in there. Now we're talking, you know. Now we're good.
That's what I was asking. Like, you don't know, no one ha- like, I don't have to have Hog Wild. I don't have to have certain songs, but that was the whole idea.
Yeah.
It just took a little while to get it out of you. Jeez. All right. So, what specific Stapleton song or what specific Zach Brown band song?
His best one is, I mean, this probably wouldn't fire you up, but it'd have to be.
It doesn't have to fire me up. It has to fire you
up. It'd be Tennessee Whiskey's his best song.
That's a great song.
But, you know, everybody's going to get in. But
that's a post game.
That's a post game. Everybody
just
grab
won.
A beer. Yeah.
Let's tie one off.
Exactly. So, Oh, Zach Brown, what, Chicken Fried?
Good one.
It's one everybody can get into.
So, if you have one, it's 877-377-6963. Again, Hog Wild, Hank Williams Jr. was the one that I consistently got when I asked that question last night. To me, this is a theme song. This is what gets me going every Saturday, regardless if Arkansas is slated to play that day on this station or not. This is what gets me going.
Nope, I'm sorry. There you go. I mean, you know what time it is when you hear that. So.
It's 2:30 on a Saturday.
Yeah, and you're on CBS. So it's kind of like kind of like in Anchorman when they blow the horn and all the news team assemble. I mean, sports team assemble.
You get excited about that.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's okay. So that is the song that gets me going every single time. I mean, you hear that in the morning, college game day, come to your city. Big and Rich is another one that could probably get you going. Like when I wake up, and it depends on the pre or post game that we're doing that day. I try and wake up and watch College Game Day and then just kind of roll that into whatever Saturday.
Now you're kind of getting me reflecting back on some of the habits I do have, because you're right. I will make a point to turn the TV on. It's generally at 8 a.m. when that show starts, and there's always a great intro. Fowler did a great job with it. Reese does a great job with that now. A great script or narration building the hype for it, and they got some great crowd shots, and then they cut into that Big and Rich song. And that's a great way. It's kind of like a really strong, really well-mixed Bloody Mary to start your day, or a great screwdriver on a Saturday morning before the tailgate. It's just, you hear that song, all right, it's go time now.
Got a couple texts in here. This one comes from Chubby Chaser 501. He says, Enter Sandman. Are you an Enter Sandman guy?
That's a big Virginia Tech thing.
Dunda? I'm forgetting the artist who sings it or starts it. You know what I'm talking about, Jenkins?
Who sings Enter Sandman?
Oh, yeah.
That'd be Metallica.
That's what I was going
to
say.
Okay, well, there's a version. I need to look it up, but it's... Hold on.
He really didn't know who sings Enter Sandman. Are you talking about Thunderstruck?
What is that? I got sent something last
Inter
night.
Sandman, I know...
Maybe it's something else, but...
That's a big Virginia Tech...
Dirty Deeds and Thundercheek?
Sandstorm.
Dirty Deeds and...
Sandstorm. That's what I was thinking. Not Enter Sandstorm. Darude is what it says. So it's a
Sandstorm's
remix.
What I think the Gamecocks... come out too, I believe. I remember watching that one time on a
so
broadcast.
So it's
I thought
different.
They just had that annoying rooster crow they played a gazillion times.
Jimmy texts and he says Gin and Juice. That's his
that's a great song.
His go-to in the morning. So again, if you want to call or text in, it's 877-37.
That's his go-to song or his go-to morning drink?
Well, I'd probably a combination.
I don't know
of
the song, but I'm going to go with drink.
It's Snoop Dogg.
Yeah. Okay.
Well. All right. Hell's Bells. Anyone?
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Okay. That one comes from, Must Bus. He texts that in. You probably don't know what this is, Tommy.
I didn't know Snoop Dogg, so I'm not going to be surprised.
Have you heard, do you know the song Swag Surf?
Nope.
All right. That's okay. All I Do Is Win, DJ Khaled.
Yep.
You know that? Okay.
Yep.
So these are a little different. Greg texts in. He says, coming to your city, like we talked about earlier. That's one that definitely stands out. Song of the South, Alabama?
Absolutely.
So that's definitely one. That's one of our, Garrett and Greg both texted those in as well. Those are ones that like get you going in the morning and stuff. And again, it's not necessarily about what's just perfectly correlates with college football, but you do want something that gets you specifically excited for college football. And you talked about Zach Brown Band and Chris Stapleton. I mentioned just the SEC on CBS song. It's whatever gets you going,
yeah,
specifically.
I didn't even think about the theme song for CBS. I mean, now it's been so long since Arkansas's been a part of a 2:30 game. I mean, but there's, you know, that's usually part of our Saturday routine is to watch the 2:30 game on CBS, whatever it is. But, yeah, I mean, it, to me, that theme is just like the March Madness theme. When you hear it, you don't need to go very far into, you know, two or three bars in that. You know exactly what you're in store for. It's like the Augusta National theme. You know exactly what's coming up. That tune right there, you know you're getting ready for a slobber knocker. Heck of an afternoon with SEC football.
Any Fleetwood Mac get you going on
Probably
Saturdays?
Not
so much?
Yeah.
Okay.
On the top of my playlist.
Not on the top of your playlist? Okay. I got a couple texts in here. This one comes from Brandon in Paris. He says he could see you jamming to Start Me Up by the Rolling Stones.
Well, Stones.
Is that a good one?
That's a good one, yeah. I mean, you hear that one.
That one reminds me more of baseball, I guess.
Yeah.
Because we always did it at Tech. Mm-hmm. Every time we cranked the sound system on, right when players started warming up, we always played Start Me Up just because it was...
That's a good one when they're running out of the dugout.
That too, yeah. Yeah.
Josh and Harrison texted, and he says he enjoyed the We Ready song that they played before basketball games.
That's a great
this
song.
That's definitely one that gets you hyped up.
Now we're getting into like some Jock Jam stuff on those old ESPN CDs they used to put out when we had CDs.
I think it's, for me, getting ready for a college football Saturday. And a lot of times I'm with either an older crowd. It's a combination of an older or a younger crowd. Mm-hmm. You can't just have one genre of music or one era of music. It's important to have songs, tailgate, whoever's got the playlist, whoever's got the iPhone that's jacked up to the aux cord. You have to pick songs from each generation. That way someone has something to relate to. It's not just, hey, Tommy's generation can listen to this, or Clay's generation can listen to this, or me and Jenkins can listen to this. Like, you have to pick songs that not that everyone knows, and they have songs that stretch forth. And there's some songs that do that, that they transcend generations, but some that don't. Got another one in here. This one, again, is out of the 501, All My Exes That Live in Texas.
Yeah.
Is that a good one?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good
George
one.
George song,
We're getting a bunch of texts in here this morning, in case you're just hopping into the conversation. The question I started the segment with was, what song gets you excited for an Arkansas football game day? What are you listening to before you walk into Donald W. Reynolds Razorback Stadium? What are you listening in the tailgate? What are you listening to with your buddies heading up? This is a great one, and it's one of our rejoins here on the Morning Rush out of the 479, Boys of Fall by Kenny Chesney.
Oh, yeah.
I would highly recommend, if you have not watched that music video, you need to. It's got Sean Payton. It's got a couple other athletes in there. Fantastic.
I hear on Friday nights, when I'm at a high school game, I bet 7 out of 10 weeks I hear that.
Probably good.
Yeah. So
I love Boys of Fall. Yeah. This is a text out of the 479. It says, anything by ZZ Top. It always gets the morning going.
That's a good one.
Because, again, Arkansas, unfortunately, has a lot of 11 a.m. games. So a lot of times you're waking up 7, 6, depending on.
Give me LaGrange. So
that's a good one.
Yeah.
So this is a text out of the 479. Southern Knights. Play Southern Knights by Glenn Campbell. I'm not familiar with that. What's Southern Knights? I don't think I've heard it before.
Southern
Knights.
You've heard it. I mean, it's a sing-along song.
And then
good bar karaoke sing-along song.
He also texted in Back in Black.
It's not as good as Sweet Caroline, but it's kind of the next level down to sing-along songs.
Is it? Yeah. Okay. Back in Black is definitely a good one. I'm writing that down so we can get in our rejoins here. Porter texts and he says, the best tailgating drinking song is You Never Even Called Me By My Name by David Allen Cole.
Great song.
Yeah.
So we're getting a bunch of texts in here this morning on this subject. Dustin Rogers texts in. He says, I like you, Chris Stapleton fan. Midnight Train to Memphis, excuse me. He also says, Welcome to the Jungle. That's also a good one as well. Got a bunch of Josh from Greenwood texting in. He says, Land of a Thousand Dances. Is it dances or how do you say that?
Land of a Thousand Dances.
That's
a good one.
We're getting a bunch in here this morning. So, again, if you want to chime in on this conversation, it's 877-377-6963. Also, you can comment on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. So, we got Tommy's. So, and what, Jenkins, what's yours real quick? Do you have one?
Oh, Lord. I always enjoyed the I think I found it on iTunes one time, but the Arkansas Drumline came out with like this CD pack of like all the like the drumline cadences that they would
do. I know
do.
Exactly what you're talking
about. The swing march and the Hey song and stuff like that. But Pure Song, Welcome to the Jungle's one of my favorites. I mean, pretty much everything what the listeners said. if you're talking sing-along songs, Friends in Low Places always gets a crowd fired
that's
up.
A good one. Yeah. My brother got brought on stage by Chase Rice to sing that song. Yeah. Didn't know the lyrics. So.
You mentioned that drum cadence. I had a tape of that when I was in junior high. We used to listen to that before football games in junior high.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
When I was a kid, I'd pretend I was the quarterback for the Razorbacks and had tape. Like I was doing warm-ups with the drum line.
This text in from Sean and Alma. This is from Peter Frampton. Do you feel like I do? For anyone familiar with that?
I'm familiar with Frampton.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if I've heard that song. Jordan Greenwood says, Here Comes the Boom. That's is always a good one to run out to.
It's a very good one.
So that always gets you excited on that. Text out of the 479 says, There Ain't No Place for No Hero. This comes from Shane and Van Buren. You familiar with that, Tommy?
Hammered with text. Yeah, I know. Great.
So
great. Hillbilly Bone, that's a good one. So
who's the artist of that?
That's Blake Shelton and Trace Atkins.
I would say Trace Atkins was the name, but I didn't know who was singing it.
That's Blake Shelton. The version he's talking about, there's the acapella group. You've both have heard of Pentatonix, right?
Oh, yeah.
So there's a country group called Home Free, and they did a remake of that, and it's super freaking cool.
Walk from Pantera?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Is that right? Is that how I say it right? Text out of the 479 says Crazy Train by Ozzy. Yeah,
fantastic choice.
That's always a great stadium song.
Big Mike, old text, my bad. Corey and Rogers, getting a bunch of old texts now. I don't know why I'm reading those.
Tom Petty, Won't Back Down from Brad and Mountain Home. That's
Thunder by Imagine Dragons is a good one too from Brandon Paris.
Yeah. I think
your screen is behind ours.
Is it? So. Yeah, because these texts keep flying in. Good grief. Evan in Monroe, Louisiana texting in. He says, Are You Ready by AC/DC and then Lose Yourself by Eminem. Good grief. This is the most text we've had in a couple weeks now. Are you an Imagine Dragons fan?
No, but my wife probably is.
Is she really?
Yeah.
Okay, so do you have to...
Our musical tastes are not...
synced up, synchronized?
No, they're not compatible.
Okay. So. Brad from Mountain Home texted in talking about Tom Petty, Won't Back Down.
Yeah. Good
That's
choice.
A good one. Add that to the list as well. I've got a... Tommy, this has made my job easier because I've been looking for some new rejoin songs.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I'm getting them.
Our buddy Apache Steve with a good... we had a Hank
fantastic
Jr.
Fantastic song.
Yeah, All My Rowdy Friends.
Yeah, that's a... God.
Make sure we got him in. Where'd that text go? Oh, I just lost it. I think it was a 318. He texted and said, Lose Yourself by Eminem.
Yeah. That's a good one as well.
Fantastic one.
Josh in Greenwood says, Who Let the Dogs Out? He's a Greenwood football fan, obviously, so that probably correlates
to me.
Well.
That one's been overdone a little bit.
You think so?
Well, I mean, that's been burnt. To me, that's just been burned out.
Okay. So,
good one, but I mean, it's just some of this stuff is just, you know, we need fresh material.
Randy in Yellville also agrees. Are you ready for some football? That was my dad.
Man, that was Monday nights as a kid. That was the whole reason to be there. That was appointment TV to be there for the intro.
Yep.
The helmets going to collide and explode, and you know Hank Jr. and all that intro that they had on Monday night. That was fantastic.
Got a text out of here from the 479. Break Stuff by Limp Bizkit. The guy texts in. He said he got kicked out of the Grove in college for Blair. This one, golly, you get kicked out of the Grove in Oxford, Mississippi, you're probably doing something right.
And all of this, it's good that you brought this up this morning because we're going to be watching at home more because fewer people are in the stadium. If you are in the stadium or whoever is in charge of the stadium atmosphere, you're going to lean on this stuff more this year. So if you're an atmosphere guy, if you're out there and you're trying to figure out how to get your crew fired up at your watch party, here's some good suggestions on what to put on your playlist because the band's not going to be on the field. Everything's going to be piped in this year. And all these venues.
So I'll tell you guys this, and out there listening, you can download this. I have it on Apple Music. It's on Spotify. ESPN, like you mentioned, Jock Jams a minute ago.
Yeah.
I think this was about a month ago. ESPN dropped 6 or 7 different playlists, hype hits.
Yeah.
And they got the best of country, hip-hop, pop, rock, hype hits, Hall of Fame, and then a curated list by one of their anchors, Ellie Duncan. But it's got all the – pretty much. I think it's got pretty much everything that's been mentioned here. all in Apple playlists, and it's on Spotify, YouTube, all the good spots.
This text in from Josh and Harrison, Country Roads, Take Me Home by John Denver. Yeah, that's a fantastic one. That's a really good one. Let's see. Big Mike from Waldron texting. He says, Long-Haired Country Boy.
Great song. Yep.
That's a good one as well. JP and Alma texting in, Bad Company by Five Finger Death Punch. Cody already responding in green, AC/DC Thunderstruck. Text out of the 870, 2001 Space Odyssey.
That's
the
a
best
good
song
one.
Entering yeah. the stadium. So I'm trying to think of that. Of the what is it? You get the rhyme for that? I'm trying to like think of that in my
head. I can't.
I've heard this. I know I've heard that song. I'm just trying to think of that in my head. Rick from Rogers texting in. He says, Dropkick Murphys.
Oh, that's a good. You've heard that one before. Shipping Have up I? The boss. It's got that organ or not the organ. Oh God, you've heard it before. Have I know I? You have. As soon as you would hear it, you'd know it.
Justin and Van Buren texting in Mambo Number 5.
Mambo Number 5.
What's Are you familiar with that?
I'm trying like, something else. We're getting text there. I'm getting text on my phone. I was looking for one I thought we had in our system I could queue up.
I'm not kidding when I tell you this that we've gotten 40 texts this segment. And listen,
I think it's more than that.
This text out of 479, Dixie Land Delight. That's a good one. Josh in Greenwood, We Will Rock by Queen. That was one of my brother's favorite songs growing up. I heard that over and over and over again.
So here's one that it's not a song, but Jeff Williams listening this morning, coach at Pea Ridge. When Brent Musburger says, "You are looking live." Ooh. Oh, we had that on the.
That hits
that's
different.
That's a very good one.
That will get you fired up. You know, it's the big game back when Brent was calling the big game when he laid that down.
Him and Herbie, so he was fantastic at bringing you in. He was just so I got a chance to meet him in Stillwater, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Nice guy. So and he was walking with Heather Cox, who's ESPN's college football reporter that was teamed up at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Mr. Musburger, and he's like, "Can I get a picture, sir?" And he's like, "Absolutely." And he looks to one of his camera crew and he says, "Young man," and he gives him my phone. And I was like, "Oh my gosh." It was fantastic. Motorhead, Jake, and you responded to this.
That is that's a wrestling entrance song. That's okay. Triple H.
Yeah.
It is. If you have, I mean, I know you despise wrestling on the show, and God forbid I bring up wrestling on the Morning Rush, but
I don't despise it. I just listen. I don't spend a lot of my time talking about fake sports.
Yeah, that well.
Oh,
that's fine.
Here we go.
I mean, that's just my honest.
They brought you John Cena and The Rock, so it's no big deal.
Right.
But no, it's a good pump up song.
Jeremiah and Fort Smith texting in Tootsie Roll, Tootsie Roll, Tootsie. You want to sing that? No.
Do I want to sing it? No.
No.
You don't want me to.
Let me do it. No. Yeah. I can't do it either. Aaron from Van Buren.
You need a little more liquid courage if I'm going to start singing.
I'm not going to say what Aaron from Van Buren said because I don't want to get removed from radio. Jordan and Greenwood texting in TNT.
Yeah.
Another Thunderstruck. And Thunderstruck, this is a text out of the 479. He brings up that not does it reminisce about college football, but Varsity Blues movie with James Vanderbeek, Paul Walker, the late Paul Walker. Amy Smart, yeah, Varsity Blues, fantastic high school, college football, or not college football, fantastic high school movie.
Let me give you a good example of a high school song that fits, because when you can find that song that fits with the mascot, to me that's, you know, the perfect marriage, right? Mm-hmm. So if you go to a game, and you could do this because it's not far from here, you could go to a game at Ozark, mm-hmm. and they play Hillbilly Deluxe a lot down there.
Well, that's a good song.
So because they're the Ozark Hillbillies, of
heck
course.
Heck yeah.
So. That works out real big.
Bill in Fayetteville texting "Stand Up and Shout" by Steel Dragon. Yeah, that's definitely a good one. So I think "Wedding Crashers" is what I think when I hear that song. JP and Alma texting in "Stand Alone" by Godsmack.
Godsmack. I'm
trying to.
That's Godsmack. Godsmack.
Okay. Alex texting in. He says he can't be at a high school football game without listening to Charlie Daniels. God bless the USA. Yeah.
The late great Charlie Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
And passed away a couple weeks ago.
Brad from Mountain Home texting in as well, saying that that's part of it.
This went better than I thought it was going to go. This lived longer than I thought. I mean, I'm amazed on this.
I still got
one that hadn't been brought up.
Seven texts I hadn't read.
One that hadn't been brought up in the 479 Jump Around by House of Pain.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's a good one. Yeah, that's definitely in our rejoins. Forget About Dre by Eminem and Dr. Dre. A lot of these songs that I'm we're reading, I probably have listened to, but I don't necessarily know like that.
We'll do this again sometime, and we'll get the hooks out of these songs, and we'll put them on a deal so we can play. In this segment, if we'd have known how successful it was going to be, we could have maybe queued up 10 or 12
The Morning Rush playlist.
Yeah, right, right.
The Morning Rush hype hits.
Josh from Springfield, Jenkins, you're going to have to verify this. The best wrestling entrance has to be I'm a Real American.
Is you that know who true? That wrestler is?
No, but I'm guessing you do.
You probably do.
Oh, no, it's Hulk Hogan.
Okay.
Oh, there needs to be a better reaction when you bring up Hulk Hogan.
Okay. Okay. I mean, I know who Hulk Hogan is.
I do, too.
I saw a great meme the other day or GIF, whatever it was. What are these? The short videos now. They're not memes.
GIFs.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You know, when he would get up from being down, he would be, you know, his cheeks would be just he was sucking in air. And you know what? Yeah. That image everybody knows of Hulk Hogan when his eyes are bulging and said, this will be me when I can take my mask off.
Pretty much.
And it was Hulk Hogan with this bewildered look on his face, sucking air in as fast as he could. It was pretty funny.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a light and flavorful beer for those easy drinking occasions.
The crowd's into it. They just threw him out of the game. They just threw him out of the game. He's gotten his second technical, and he's been thrown out of the ball game.
LSU football got some more bad news yesterday when defensive tackle Tyler Shelvin informed the coaching staff that he's going to opt out of the 2020 football season. That came from Ross Dellinger and Sports Illustrated. They've lost a few, and by a few, I mean 26 of their two deep from this past season. There's a chart that Brian Fisher of Bleacher Report put out of the national championship depth chart compared to last year. Let me rattle off some of the names that they have lost looking at this past season, Tommy. Just some notable guys that you probably know. Sadiq Charles, who was one of the best offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. They lost Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase. They've lost Joe Burrow, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and then you move on the defensive side of the football. Michael Divinity is one. Think about Rashad Lawrence, Kevon Chaisson, who's one of the best linebackers, along with Patrick Queen, Grant Delpit, who's arguably the best safety in the country, Christian Fulton, who's one of the best cornerbacks in the country, and then Kari Vincent also opted out as well. On top of losing Joe Brady, the passing game coordinator, and Dave Aranda, your defensive coordinator. I'm going to go out on a record and say this right now, because they continue to get bad news out of Baton Rouge. Arkansas has a chance to beat the LSU Tigers this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's completely a misinformed statement on my part based on what has occurred for LSU this offseason.
No, we were talking about gettable games outside of the M schools. This one to me is looking more and more winnable because it's at home than I would say even the A&M game, which has been a close series recently. In fairness, of those players that left off the two deep, nine of those were seniors, so they were going to lose that many at least anyway. And in a player like Joe Burrow, who was a senior for him, and eight other of his teammates. But I'm in total agreement with you. It's not Florida. It's probably not even Tennessee in comparison to maybe LSU at the end of the year. They're coming off Alabama. It's a game at home. I don't know what home field's going to be worth, but I'm with you. I mean, their season may be completely unraveled by the time they get to Fayetteville.
Bo Pelini is going to take over as the defensive coordinator, was on Saban's defense early on in the LSU days. Then you look at Scott Linehan, formerly of the Dallas Cowboys, that's going to take over Joe Brady's position as the passing game coordinator, along with Steve Insminger, who is still the OC there. To me, like you're talking about, the season for LSU could come unraveled at that point. They're not beating Alabama this year. They're just not. I know that game is in Baton Rouge. I do not think they have what it takes to beat the Crimson Tide this year. Their schedule, like every other team in the SEC West, is not easy. I honestly think the more we hear, and listen, the news on Shelvin might not be the last player that you hear opt out for LSU. Again, 26 of their two deep from last season. For those who don't know what two deep is, it's either the guys that are first or second team for offense and defense. I mean, you lost a Heisman Trophy winner in Joe Burrow. You lost a first-round draft pick in Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who's probably going to be one of the best running backs in the NFL this year. Tommy, you cannot, just by data alone, you can't even pretend to understand how much the LSU Tigers lost from a season ago.
All right, so let's look at their schedule. I think they start out 3-0. Mississippi State, Vanderbilt, Missouri to start the season. Those three wins, right?
Oh, I thought that was rhetorical. Yes.
I mean, you know, I was just I was looking for an agreement there. Then they go to Florida. I think that's their first loss is a road trip to Florida. Then they get Carolina home. I think they win that game. I think they lose on the road at Auburn before they hit their bye date. So that's two losses. Then they play Bama off the bye date. I think they're going to have three losses before they play the Razorbacks. Now, is that good or is that bad? Would you rather them win one of those two games against what would be Auburn or Florida before the bye date? Because I'm with you. They're not beating Bama. If they're coming to Fayetteville with three losses, they may, you know, Eddie O may be looking at this as, hey, I don't want to get run in a short season coming off. I don't want to go to the Gene Chizik route here and put myself on the hot seat, you know, the year following a national championship game. Because that's exactly what Gene Chizik did. Now, he wouldn't be going 0-8 in league play under this assumption, but you don't want to start the process of painting yourself in the corner here either.
Sports Illustrated did a piece, if I'm remembering correctly, the publication that talked about LSU, talked about some of the other programs that had lost pieces. LSU had lost more than any of these other programs by a landslide. Like, I can't... Maybe we need to talk to Matt Moscona. Maybe we need to talk to Glenn Goodwill or one of the guys down there in Baton Rouge to really better understand how much Ed Orgeron is having to deal with this year with the amount of talent he lost. And listen, they've had a top 10, maybe top 5 recruiting class the last couple years. So it's not like there's not talent in Baton Rouge, but we know that experience plays a vital role in college football. And when 26 members of your two deep, I think it was 15 starters, if I remember that correctly, are not with the program anymore or choosing to opt out, that makes it difficult. A lot of people were counting, a lot of LSU fans were like, hey, listen, we lost Jefferson, we lost Clyde Edwards-Helaire, we lost Thaddeus Moss, but hey, Ja'Marr Chase is still back. Well, Ja'Marr Chase is opted out for the college football season, getting ready for the NFL, so you don't have that to lean back on if you're Miles Brennan. And we haven't even talked about the pressure. We've talked about the pressure on Eddie O, on Pelini, on Ensminger and Linehan. What about the pressure on Miles Brennan, who has to step in and fill the shoes that Joe Burrow left this past season?
Yeah.
This is a winnable football game. Now, percentage-wise, I don't know. Arkansas is still going to be vastly underdogs in this football game, which is okay. You can go out and get this one if you're Sam Pippen. If you're circling a game on your schedule that you say, man, we got a chance to beat these guys. It's A&M and it's LSU. Then I'm talking like a big-time spectacular win.
I think
it's one of those programs.
You circle LSU before A&M just because of the home element. You know, playing them in your stadium versus having to travel amongst COVID-19. You look at LSU's schedule, man. Ty, you can make the case that, you know, 6-4 is probably maybe the best they're going to do. Now, we may have egg on our face, but Florida, Auburn, Alabama, A&M look like losses to me for LSU this year. That's four. You know, so you lose to an Ole Miss, which is a big rival for them. You lose to an Arkansas, you're staring at 5-5. I just wonder, even in a shortened season, coming off a championship, weird year, what kind of trouble would Eddie O be in on a 5-5 year with the LSU fan base?
Well, you brought up Gene Chizik. 2011, they take a step back, Trotter's the quarterback, and then 2012, they lose to Arkansas, and I believe they don't have a conference win all season. 2 years removed after winning the national championship, Chizik, be gone. That's something that is not how the... I mean, it's college football, man. There's too much money involved. And
I just wonder how much of a pass some coaches will get due to finances, due to what are the expectations in a year like this. I don't know. I think there's some recalibration in the 10-win year, but listen, LSU coming off a national title is not going to overlook a 5-5 year.
They're not going to be happy about
it. They won't fire him off of it, but it would turn the heat up, you know, to like a 2. He's got no heat right now.
Text out of 479 says beating LSU is a lot more reachable than Arns thought of beating Florida. Greg texting in, Florida's gettable. Y'all, Florida's not, you're not going to beat Florida this year.
LSU's the gettable game.
Arns must have been doing some type of drug before he came on the program.
He'd been watching too many Notre Dame hype videos.
I don't know what he was doing, but he was not in the right state of mind when he got on Ruskin and Zach and said that Florida is gettable. Florida's not gettable. You're not beating the Gators.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade with half the sugar and carbs of Mike's Hard.
A bright red Razorback caravan is headed to Nebraska, and this time, we're coming for the whole damn thing.
Here's what Felipe Franks had to say last night about Kendall Briles.
Coach Briles, first and foremost, is a great, great person before he's a great coach. But, you know, great person, great personality. I love working with him in the first place. And then, you know, when it comes to football, smart, you know, knows what he's talking about. And that's the kind of guy that you want to be surrounded by. And he puts you in positions to be successful. And that's all I could ask for. And everybody on our offense, not just me. Every quarterback, when they're in, he puts them in positions to be successful and our offense as a whole. So I think he's doing a great job, in my opinion, and he's an awesome coach. I've loved every bit of it. Like I said, not going from the fans to the people that I've met here and then Coach Briles, I've loved every bit of it.
Briles has a track record with dual threat quarterbacks. Bryce Petty, Seth Russell, Derek Keene, Jason Driscoll. I mean, these are guys that have had success in his offense. I referenced Tom Murphy's article earlier talking about dual threat quarterbacks, and he did a fantastic job cataloging what Arkansas has had in that position last couple years. And really, Tommy, the last time impacted by dual threat quarterback was when Matt Jones went over for 600 yards back in 2004.
Yeah, and boys, the game changed since then. Just the, you know, the spread offense, the more sideline to sideline nature of what you're doing, and Matt made it so dynamic and so great because you never knew what was going to happen when the ball was in his hands and he took off with it. I mean, I don't think it'd be fair to say this guy is Matt Jones or Johnny Manziel when he takes off with the ball, but he is probably the best willing runner you've had. And I think that's the key word. He's a willing runner with a football that you've had in quite some time.
And when you look at the offensive line play, how important that's going to be, you can't overlook that. That is as far as, and yes, there's going to be times that Felipe's just going to have to make plays with his legs. The offensive line caves in. There's an extra man that they can't block or whatever. He's just going to have to make a play. But this stat to me was glaring from Tom's article. The Arkansas Razorbacks have not had a quarterback rush for more than 150 yards in a season the past 15 years. It's not 500. It's not 400. It's not 300. They have not had someone rush for more than 150 yards. The past 15 years. You think about the great quarterback. Who comes to mind great quarterbacks in the SEC? Right off the bat. We did this the other day. You and I referenced the exact same ones.
Great.
SEC quarterbacks last 10 to 15 years.
Oh, Johnny Manziel, Cam Newton.
Tebow.
Tebow, yeah.
What do they all have
Who else are we missing here? That's the best three.
No, those are the best three, and it's the exact same ones we did this a couple weeks ago. What do they all have in common?
They ran with the football.
Like, you cannot be...
They ran first in most cases.
Joe Burrow, and yes, Joe Burrow occasionally used his legs, but dude threw, 60 touchdowns? I think that's what Tom said. He's not a... I don't know if I'm saying unwilling to say dual threat because he has speed, but he threw 60 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And I don't have his running statistics in front of me, but most of the time... In the last 10, 15, even 20 years to have success in this football league as a quarterback, you have to be not necessarily just a dual threat guy, but a willing runner. Like, you think about the teams that have beaten Alabama over the years, more often than not, over 90% of the time, the quarterback has been what, Tommy? Mobile. Mm-hmm. Like, you cannot win, for the most part, in this conference without dual threat or willing runner quarterback. And yes, Brandon... He occasionally ran. Tyler occasionally ran. Ryan was kind of, he's the anomaly, and look at Arkansas, had a lot of success, didn't run at all.
But what you want, because when you talk about Manziel, when you talk about Newton, you'd prefer them to throw, right? Tebow, you'd prefer him to throw. His passing game was nowhere near his running. What you want is a quarterback that is more deadly to a defense. You know, Manziel was at his deadliest to an opponent when the play broke down, he reversed field, got out of the pocket, and they couldn't contain him. That was because he may run 125 yards but only gain 70, but he was going to zigzag across the field, make guys miss because they could not contain Johnny Manziel. So that's what you haven't had, is a guy that we prefer you to pass, because when you run it, you can really smoke us.
Texted out a 607-608 saying, see a lot of maturity in Felipe. That's what the team needs at quarterback this year. I encourage you, if you haven't, go back, go to our YouTube page, go to hitthatline.com, go to our social media, listen to his press conference last night. Listen to it. Listen to it its entirety. It's not that long. I think it's like 15 minutes or something. It's worth your time. You can pick up certain signs. You can pick up certain tell signs or whatever. This guy has some confidence. He commanded that press conference. As we heard from Tom Murphy, who talked with Pat Dooley of the Gainesville Sun, he commanded that locker room. You haven't had that the past 2 years. You haven't had that at all. You've had flippity-floppity. I don't know who's playing quarterback. You don't know who's playing quarterback. The coach doesn't know who's playing quarterback. And while it has not been publicly stated, you know who's playing quarterback this fall. You know who's going to be the starting quarterback this fall.
And the team knows.
And the team knows. And that doesn't necessarily mean that KJ can't get some work in, some snaps, some sets here and here, some specific design play calls in a Wildcat or whatever formation. But you know who the starter's going to be. And I don't care if it hasn't been announced yet or whatever. Felipe Franks is going to be your starting quarterback this college football season. And you hope, for the team's continuity's sake, he never relinquishes it. You hope that from practice when it started through the end of this season, he is emphatically your starting quarterback. There doesn't need to be a switcheroo. There doesn't need to be, oh, well, let's throw KJ in this week. No, this guy needs to put up numbers. He needs to continue to have a clean grasp of that locker room where you as a fan, week by week, day by day, know who is commanding that football.
So who's that on to make that happen? It's on Felipe, right?
Yeah.
To play at a level. I mean, that's been the problem the last 2 years. The quarterbacks haven't played at the level that you weren't looking for the backup quarterback, who is always the most popular guy on campus. Yeah,
there's some onus
it's the backup quarterback.
Yeah, it's not just the offensive line. It's not just Bryles. There's some accountability that Felipe has this season. He knows it. Everyone knows it.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer. 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.